Good morning. We move into week two of our series, Keys to the Kingdom, Unlocking the Future of Our Church. It is a series that engages all of us in different ways as we think about what the Lord is saying to us today, and I believe the Lord is nudging all of us today. I would invite us to prayer together. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the word just read, for these words from the book of Acts, of how your church began, of how it began in an unbelievable event as the wind came, the Holy Spirit, as 3,000 people were reached in one day, as they were baptized and repented, as they came together for just an incredible new life in the church. So we pray that we will experience the same. And help us to see our story in these stories in the book of Acts and what it has to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, the Lord of the church, the holder of the keys of the kingdom. Amen. I was standing on just a little bit behind the sanctuary the other day, a nice spot. It was a hot August day, and it's been really hot, hasn't it? Brutally hot. And I was standing there on one of the warmer days, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I'm looking around at our campus. I'm looking over this direction and this direction and this direction. And I'm just doing some reflection, and all of a sudden, a nice breeze blew in from behind me. And it was the nicest breeze. It was refreshing. And I wondered, is this not still August? Where did this come from? And I looked around at the trees, and they were not blowing that much. So I had a special moment remembering, preparing for this message today, thinking, this must have been what it was like to suddenly have the wind of the Holy Spirit come up behind you and to feel like the Holy Spirit was at your back, moving you forward with where God was leading you. It was a special moment. And those kind of moments are available to us when we stop and we allow ourselves to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, last week we looked at some of the history of our church, how this church was formed in 1951 with the idea of reaching this region for Jesus Christ. And we've seen some incredible things happen in the first 67 years of this church's history. So we're looking for the keys to the kingdom. As Jesus said to Peter, you are the rock for the church. I'm going to build the church upon you, and I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And it was Peter on the day of Pentecost that preached, and 3,000 people were saved. So all that Jesus was saying was fulfilled through what Peter was doing. And so we are at our best as a church when we pull from these pages from the book of Acts, the story of the church, and as we seek to be God's people seeking this region for Jesus today. Now, I introduced six keys to the kingdom last week. Let me review those quickly. They're simple but essential. Simple but essential. Love Jesus. It all begins with our loving Jesus. Jesus loves us. We're to love Jesus. And we're to see others differently because we love Jesus. So we love people. We love Jesus. We love people. We are not always able to do that on our own strength. We need help. And the Holy Spirit comes to help us. God Himself comes to help us. Those days we do not feel like it, to help us spot those opportunities, to empower us to do His work. The Holy Spirit helps. We need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. We are to be a daily disciple, and we are to grow up. We have to take care of our own spiritual needs. Through our daily meditation and devotional, we take care of our own soul spiritually, and as we're growing, we naturally move out, and we grow out to others. And this never ends. We were never designed by God to live the Christian life in a vacuum. We are to be with others and help them grow. They help us to grow. It works that way. So, we love Jesus. We love people. We're filled up with the Holy Spirit. We grow up, we grow out, and we grow together. And that's beautiful. When we're doing all of these things that the early church was doing, we grow closer together. And our world in such division, it's so fragmented, it yearns to be with people that are united in this deeper unity. What was known as koinonia, a Greek word which means not only fellowship, but a deeper fellowship, a deeper relationship. And that's what the church can be. That's the possibility of the church. To be together, stronger than any other organization in the world. You know, as united as we feel with our football team, did any of you have passion about your football team? It's just coming around the corner. We can have that kind of passion for God's work and our relationship together, because this koinonia is strong as we love Jesus, love people, fill with the Holy Spirit, grow up, grow out, and grow together. It's strong. There's nothing stronger. So today, we move into a teaching that's a little different than last week. 3,000 people came to know the Lord in one day last week as we did the teaching from the Pentecost story. But today, it's just one person. And that's an important pivot. Just one person. I want to ask three questions. Lloyd Ogilvie said in understanding this text, three questions help us. Question number one is what happened? Question number two is why did it happen? Question number three is can it happen again today? So let's look at the first question. What happened in this story? Peter and John are basking in the glow of all the good things that happen on Pentecost. They're moving to the temple for the 3 p.m. prayers. And on their way to the temple, they stop. And that's important. They are about to go through this amazing gate, this beautiful, glistening gate that was 50 cubits tall. Now that's tall. I'd like for you to just participate with me in this part of the message. Take your elbow, hold it up like this. That's one part of a cubit, and the tip of your finger is the other part of the cubit. So in this day, this gate was 50 cubits tall. That's about 70, 75 feet. Based on a 17 to 20 inch elbow. Now, if you have a 22 inch cubit, I want to talk to you after worship. That's a long cubit. But this was a tall, amazing gate, and it glistened in the sun. It was known as the beautiful gate. And it would have been normal for Peter and John, basking in the glow of Pentecost, to just walk right toward this beautiful gate, walk through it to the temple. But no, they stopped. And they saw this man lame who was a beggar. They saw him at the gate. He'd been there all of his life. People had walked by him all of his life. They had ignored him every day. But Peter and John stopped and looked at him, and it all began to change as they looked at this man and they saw his need. Now, this part of our world has not changed. We have people in our path every week that we may not even see, particularly those who are beggars and those that we pass by. I was in Cincinnati a month and a half ago visiting my daughter Haley, and she made me go to a Cincinnati Red baseball game. Not really. But we're driving there to the stadium, and we're in the urban part of Cincinnati. We're looking for parking. And you know, in every community, there's someone holding up these signs. And I saw this sign for the first time. Why lie? I just want beer. Couldn't believe it. I asked Karen to take a photo because I wanted to use that in a future sermon. And she was trying to get her iPhone out to take a photo. And this man actually started posing for her. But my point is, this is always, people that are needing help have always been. And some are outlandish in what they ask for. But Peter and John, they stopped and they looked at this man who had been lame, who had been wrapped up in pity and didn't have much of a life at all, just waiting at the gate, hoping that somebody would give him some money each day. And this is where the story changes. Peter says to the man, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have is the power of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ." And this man, he began to get up. His ankles were so weak, but he began to feel strength. And notice also that Peter was helping him up. A good image for the church is that God's miraculous healing power can help happen as we are able to help and participate. And that's what was going on here. Peter began to raise him up. He had strength returning or coming for the first time in his ankles. Then he stood up, and it didn't stop there. Then he started bouncing around. He started leaping. Can you imagine going from lame to leaping in just one moment? And then he started running toward the temple, praising God for what had just happened. Now that's an amazing story. And it's an amazing story of what happened in this day in the early church. And notice it shifted from 3,000 people to one person. That's a great message for us. One person at a time, one deed at a time. When we think about the future of this church, we might say, you know, that our future is in our first-time visitors, because first-time visitors are the flow for future church growth. If you do not have first-time visitors, then we can see the inevitable. The people that we already have get older, some move away. But first-time visitors are the key to the church. And so when we acknowledge that people do not come to church like they used to just because there's a church here, we have a reality of saying, well, the reality is people just don't naturally go and visit churches like they did back in the day. So we could say things are not like they used to be. But using this model from the book of Acts, we have a different message. It's a message of opportunity. Things can be better than they've ever been if we apply these principles of one person at a time, one deed at a time. And that's what happened here in the book of Acts. And if we'll do the one person at a time, one deed at a time, we'll have first-time visitors more than we've ever had before in this community, from this community. The second question, why did it happen? I just shared some of the reason why it happened. I think Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, wanted us to know that yes, 3,000 people coming to know the Lord in one day is amazing, but it's also amazing that one person at a time can be brought to the Lord and the good news of Jesus. One person at a time, one deed at a time. It's an important pivot in the book of Acts. One-on-one matters. And last week, I commissioned all of you to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in this community. And the why is so that we can reach other people for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. The church is not our primary reason, but the church will benefit from doing this kingdom work. Where there are deeds of shalom, people will start responding to where they feel loved to this good news of Jesus. So why did it happen? So that the good news of Jesus could be seen through this deed, this incredible deed of this lame man beginning to walk and leap and run. And some of us, we're not lame in body, but we're lame in other ways. And we've been there waiting and waiting and waiting. And the good news is that we can rise up. We can walk in the faith. And for all of us in the church, the good news is we can go to the people that need our encouragement and help and offer deeds of shalom to help them rise up and to live life zestfully in a way that they either never lived before or haven't lived in a long time. We can be the person that helps that happen. God can use us. The third question is, can it happen again today? It can happen again today as we take our eyes off the bling. You know, Peter and John, if they'd just been focused on the gate and going to the temple, they would have missed this man. But they saw the man. So who is it in our weekday path that we're walking by every day? It may not be a beggar. This is just one story. It could be a person that we work with. It could be a neighbor. It could be a family member. It could be anybody that's in our path every day that we've been missing. Can we offer a deed of shalom to make a difference? Now, shalom, let me say a word about what that is. Shalom is a Hebrew word. It is synonymous with peace and wholeness. And so when I offer a deed of shalom for someone, I'm basically saying, I care about you. I want you to be whole as a person. I want you to be whole mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally. I want you to be whole. I do not want you to be fragmented and out of sorts. And if I can help you, I want to help you. That's a deed of shalom. Shalom means wholeness. Peace. It's out of the Old Testament Hebrew. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. I give my peace to you. And it is a way of saying, this is what we're doing. We're offering peace to the world. We're serving others through what we are doing, these deeds of shalom. Now, can these deeds of shalom make a difference? They can. Little things can turn a whole person's life around. Something that may cost us just a few minutes might turn a person's life around. This past week, Alan Wiles was in town. He's helping us with something in the church, and I took him out for lunch. And while we were having lunch, we were finishing up, and I almost forgot something I had intended to do. And our server was there at the table. And before it was too late, I just said to him quickly, I'm a pastor. Is there any way I can be in prayer for you this week? And the young man stopped what he was doing. He just stopped. And he said, I'd like to pray right now. And then he started listing all the things going on in his life and what he would like to pray for. It was just an unbelievable moment that just turned on a dime that quickly. I almost forgot to say something. I said something. Then suddenly, he is just opening up his life. So we had a prayer with him, and he was very grateful for that prayer. I left him a nice tip, and we walked out of the restaurant, and we were out in the parking lot a pretty good ways from the restaurant, when suddenly he came rushing, running across the parking lot, thanking me again for that little act of kindness, that little deed of shalom. It works. It makes a difference. It has an impact. It makes a kingdom difference for Jesus Christ. And every one of us has somebody in our path this week that we can offer this deed of kindness. Every one of us. Now, as I was imagining, how do we make this tangible for our church, these deeds of shalom? In my wild imagination, I just thought, what if there was a deed of shalom meter? And we could just move that meter every week as a church through our deeds that we're doing. Let's just take a baseline and saying that before we even started teaching and challenging our congregation with this, that 50 deeds of shalom were being done through our congregation every week. I don't know if that's high, I don't know if that's low, but I needed a baseline. Let's just say many of our people are kind, they seek to serve others, and there were 50 deeds each week. What if all of a sudden we are serious about these deeds of shalom, and we could have 500 deeds of shalom through our congregation this week and move this meter every week, move it up? Why? Because we're making a difference in the lives of the people in this community and region for Jesus Christ. And it can start as something very simple, but it can be life-changing. One person at a time, one deed at a time. Let's move this meter. I have a specific challenge I want to offer this week. This is the first week of school. Teachers went back last week. And when we leave today, we will pull out of a basket different examples of deeds of shalom. Now, last week, we were all impressed as how most everybody took a deed of shalom. And we overheard some people, you know, almost like they were pulling from a Chinese fortune cookie and reading it and say, oh, I've got to do this week. The purpose of this is just to get us thinking. You do not have to do what's on the slip of paper, but it's just to get us thinking. What does a deed of shalom look like in my life and with the people God places in my path? So take the paper, and if it works out for you to do it, great. But here's one specific challenge this week. First week of school, what if our congregation moved this shalom deed meter with deeds of kindness for all those associated with school? For those students, we did something, an act of kindness for the students. For teachers, that we saw a teacher, a neighbor, someone in our life, that we could just say, this is a hectic week, first week with the students. I'm going to do this for you because it's going to help your week. Administrators, what could we do to offer shalom to the administrators, to those that work with the county. What could we do to offer deeds of shalom this week? And imagine a church like Shalimar United Methodist united in this effort of having deeds of shalom throughout this county. We would light this region up with deeds of kindness, all because we love Jesus and we love people and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're seeking to grow up and we grow out and we grow together. Let's move that meter this week with deeds that lead people to the love of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the teaching of Jesus. If we want to be great, be a servant. Help us to be servants and look for the deeds that will impact and love the people around us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.